Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than the first... That's not right. I should change that.
It's better than the opening of this show.
Yes, the show that is better than that shit stain of an opening. That was terrible. I write a new one every week, but I did not this week. Yeah, and I'm like, we're not talking about that this week.
I saw the train wreck cross your face like,
yeah, boom. I was very smooth. Anyway, if you wish to call in, the number to call in is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. Of course, you could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our awesome affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. As you can tell, we are joined in studio by Miss Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Pip.
Hey.
Joe is fighting traffic.
and perhaps winning.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. If Joe really was Blue Hawk, he would be able to surpass traffic and just fly right over it.
Perhaps he could.
Another flaw in the character that is Blue Hawk.
You know what's really weird? Now, once you mention hawks, I noticed that a lot of the things flying overhead that I thought were hawks are vultures.
There's vultures here. There's hawks here.
I know, but there a lot of the things I thought were hawks are vultures.
But you saw them land?
No, well, yeah.
We have a lot of wildlife here.
I know, but I didn't realize there were those turkey-headed vultures. Ew, 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 ew. I thought they were pretty hawks, but then they fly down and they're eating roadkill. Not so pretty.
Yes, because hawks are much more discerning with what they eat.
Yeah, because they like to catch things while they're alive.
Sure. I think your vulture is your smarter bird.
They are, but I do when I see them flying overhead, I tend to really move around a lot.
If I was a bird, I'd be a vulture. Oh, look, there's dinner. I just happen to wander by. What's with this hunting crap? That's just going to burn calories. I would be a fat, fat vulture. Oh, look, squirrel got run over. Over here, fellas. No reason to hunt that. Let the hawk have fun with that. I am going to eat what's on the side of the road. And you know what? People do the same thing. People, they eat their meals. If you see, this is kind of funny. In cities, they eat outside.
Yeah.
Al fresco?
Al fresco.
Yes, with the bus exhaust.
I thought you were about to say al dente.
No, they're a little firm when they eat outside. No, they eat outside with stupid bus exhaust.
Yeah.
And that does not seem appealing. So people who do that, who eat outside in like metropolitan areas,
yes,
are really vultures.
Yeah.
That's like, what they are.
Ah, bring my roadkill. Ah.
Well, I've never caught. I get it when it's outside and, you know, a nice lake or river or beach or whatever it is.
Right.
But I don't get sitting outside in traffic.
I only sit outside on the sidewalk in cities when I'm with somebody who desperately wants to do that.
Or if you want to smoke.
Yeah, but I mean, you really can't do that lot anyway either.
No, so, but you see it all the time. Like, ooh, you want to eat outside? No.
No.
Because I don't want this lovely meal that you prepared to taste like bus exhaust.
Right. Bus exhaust. And I'm sorry, but
people
New York,
walking by?
People walking by making comments about what you're eating, trying to steal what you're eating.
Wait. Hold on. This I've never experienced.
You've never had, like, homeless people walk by and, like, harass you while you're eating?
Maybe I don't order food they like. No.
Maybe you don't.
What do they just give you the puppy dog eyes and stare at you?
Kinda, yeah.
So what do you treat them like one of the cats from a little scrap?
No, you know what?
Well, you can't, because if you keep on doing that with the homeless, you train them and then they're just going to beg at the table.
They'll just follow me home.
Exactly.
And they know that I would let them in.
You can't feed the homeless at the table.
Look,
you
dude,
have to wait till you're done and then you need to let the homeless gnaw off the bone. That is what Pip Helix is saying.
No, it's like as long as they meow, I will bring them home.
So you now have eight vagrants living in your house
with
your cats.
No, stray cats. They're not vagrants. They're stray cats.
I thought of a person meowed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying strangely hairless cats who like to stand on their back legs. That's all.
Yeah, I've never had homeless people. I mean, I don't eat outside that much where they would be.
No.
But I've never had homeless people make comments or try to steal my food. That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
You know, if that's a real issue,
yeah,
you know what you have to order then.
What?
There's something you order if there's a big homeless problem where they're trying to steal your food.
What?
Sizzling hot fajitas. You grab that hot plate, the flesh melts off. There's no more grabby.
No, they're hungry. They're not stupid. They're gonna grab it and then blow on it.
Wait, what?
They're hungry. They're not stupid. They're not going to burn themselves.
Well, see, if I was homeless and I was that brazen,
yeah,
I would totally spit on your food because you're not going to eat it anymore.
And then it's theirs.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Oh, well, Lisa says hot sauce. Yeah, then I'm not going to
eat
it.
Yeah, but you don't know. Homeless people might like hot sauce. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. They might really dig that.
But you homeless people have tried to steal your food.
Well, not like put their hand in it, but
they put their junk in it.
But hanging right next to where you're eating and making you really uncomfortable because you're eating and they're not.
How do you know they were homeless?
You generally tell homeless people from what they're wearing.
They have better stuff in their shopping cart than you do?
Yes.
Then now do you in that situation, do you
then I exchange stuff from my car to their shopping cart.
Oh, there you go.
And back, you know, we barter.
Sure. Do you alert the staff of the restaurant and go, "Hey, we got an issue here."
You know what?
Mr. Pee Pants is making me feel uncomfortable.
I usually turn. This is terrible, but I usually turn away.
Now you shun another human being.
Yeah.
I can't see you. I have shunned you.
That's why I don't like to sit on the street because it's like screaming.
Neither do they,
up.
But they don't have a choice.
I know. I know. I try to help the homeless in other ways.
So you and the person you are sitting with are being stared at by homeless people as you enjoy some nice filet mignon. Some prime rib, maybe a nice juicy burger.
Oh, well, maybe more like a burger or a salad.
So then
or
what
something.
You do is you're feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
Without saying a word, you and the person you're with, you look at each other, and then simultaneously, you shift your body away so as to give the homeless person your back. To essentially say, you do not matter, and I do not see you. I smell you, but I will not acknowledge. That is the Pippi Licks move.
It's not saying you don't matter.
It kind of is. It kind of is. A little rude.
But any stranger, homeless or not, standing a foot away from you while you're sitting there eating and staring at your food, kind of.
It's even annoying when kids do it in a restaurant.
When a kid turns around
and they peer over.
And they stare at you.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, this sucks.
Yeah, and you're like looking at this little head. You're trying to have a conversation with the person, and you're looking at this little face right above them.
You know what I do? What? I think to myself, WWJD. What would Josh Duggar do?
Oh, God! Oh, no!
You know, it's funny. You do that a couple times.
That young and had a kiss.
You do that a few times. Suddenly, children are not in your vicinity when you eat. Does not work the same with homeless people.
No.
They kind of enjoy it. But
You know, it's like I try to help the homeless in other ways, but I can't be... I don't want to be intimidating intimidated while I'm trying to eat.
No, wrong time. You're like a Doberman pincher gnawing on a staple. It's the wrong time. Pip Helix, lovely lady, don't get your hand in the way while she's trying to eat.
Thank you.
We all have rules.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a convict, the way they wrap their arms around their food and they just shove their face down.
No, I don't know that either.
You never saw the convict?
I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm not hanging out on the streets with homeless people. I'm not hanging out in prison. I'm sheltered.
If you see somebody with their arms basically wrapped around their plate, that's somebody who's done time and they're guarding from somebody stealing their biscuit.
Get out of here.
No, I'm serious.
That's not.
Or they grew up in a really big family and they knew that they were going to have to fight for the last bit of food. Some people sit there guarded.
So do you alert the staff with the homeless people?
They
have to know there's an issue.
I mean, it hasn't happened in years and years and years, but I don't like to sit on the street for that reason. First of all, New York City in the summer smells like urine, no matter where you are. No matter how rich
the neighborhood. Well, we do hang out a lot together. Maybe it's just me.
Well, no, because then it would smell like that in the car, too. So I think it was the city.
Well, I like to fart in the car to throw you.
Yeah, that's another issue. Well, that's a whole other show.
Another thing. If you're sitting in the street, you're sitting down now. You are now at rear end level. Theoretically, people are crop dusting while you eat. So you're enjoying your nice pasta dish, and now it smells like ass. I can't eat this anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, you are at the level for a lot of abuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's like being a little child, because they get it all the time.
Yeah, hey, take that, you ruggy.
You do. You smack him in the face with gas.
Now, wait a minute now.
What now?
Are you saying that you're one of the people that does this to small children?
No.
But
I'm not opposed to it. As long as it's not my kid.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I could do it to my kid.
Right.
You do it to your kid, hilarious. Do it to somebody else's kid, and you don't get caught, hilarious. Do it to somebody else's kid, and you do get caught, awkward.
Yeah.
Denial.
Very.
Denial.
Extremely.
I have Crohn's disease. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, exactly. By all means, fart again in little Debbie's face.
Yeah, instead of you, disgusting excuse for a human being.
Yeah, I mean, midgets and children have it bad as far as that.
As far as level.
Yeah.
I to ass level.
Now me, if I'm hanging out with a bunch of 6'5" guys, I got issues too.
Yeah. I mean, people that tall, their ass is right up in our faces.
Yeah, too.
Not enjoying that.
No.
No.
Unless they're an Amazon woman, maybe. Probably not.
No, probably
not.
I don't know.
I've been with taller women. Not 6'5", though.
Yeah, no, because that would be like, if you were dancing, your head would be below their boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
Taller chicks like me.
Really?
Taller girls like me. Although it's hard to find them much shorter than me. So it really works out. No, I mean, traditionally, size is not, height has not really mattered. I've dated taller, I've dated shorter, I've dated my height. It has not mattered.
Yeah, no.
I think because I don't give a shit. And, it's good to have somebody who can reach things off the top shelf. The wife has gorilla arms and legs. Like, I'm longer,
really?
Like, we're about the same height, but I have a longer torso.
Okay.
Than she does, but she has, like, longer arms. So, like, if we're at the supermarket and we need something off the top shelf, I send King Kong Juniorette up there.
Did you get the wife to swing from shelf to shelf?
Yeah,
for
she's
you?
Climbing up there like a monkey.
Waving off planes.
She's got longer limbs than I do.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're making her sound like Joe's ideal girl.
Nobody's Joe's ideal girl.
No, well, the Kong and the Kong.
No, I got you, but I wouldn't say that for my wish that on my wife.
No. Poor girl.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. All right. Yeah, so I haven't encountered this whole eating outside thing. Generally, like I said, I do it on a lake or a beach or someplace where you're looking and you're enjoying nature.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I did, there's a Mexican place that we like in the next town over.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of overlooking the parking lot.
Oh. No, it's not the place. But I saw another place that over there that I thought that they had a deck. And I'm like, yeah, you're just looking at the parking lot. And
but people
and
like that for the air.
The highway. Oh.
If it's enclosed, it's not bad.
No, if it's enclosed, it's not bad. But when you're sitting out just like overlooking a parking lot and trucks are going by.
No good. Ugh. And again, the street makes no sense.
Brutal.
Anyway, on tonight's show, we interview the author of the book From Landfill to Hallowed Ground, The Largest Crime Scene in America, the co-author Frank Mara. This is about what happened right after September 11th, where they took all the debris and, unfortunately, human remains. They took it from Ground Zero, the Twin Towers, and they removed it to what is the Staten Island dump. And this became like a crime scene, and they're sifting through. So Frank Mara is a former NYPD New York detective, and he was working for several months, right after 9/11 at the Staten Island dump. So he saw a lot of interesting and horrific things. So
we're gonna
talk to him. So we'll talk to him a little bit later on. We'll also see if DJ's back from his trip, and we'll see if we're getting anywhere with Belinda's scammer syndicate. See if we can infiltrate that. See if we make any prospects with that. And this week with Ann Jackson, a lot of conversations between her and her scammers. So those are very interesting when we actually get to read the dialogue. There's usually a lot of expletives involved in that and poor English.
That's my favorite.
Although with Anne, there's a lot of expletives involved with everything.
Yeah, your shopping list.
Yeah.
Fucking soap.
Idiot clerk.
Fucking mafia O's. Yeah. My favorite cereal.
Yeah. So it should be packed full of stuff. So you were out last week, so you've been off for 2 weeks. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, the most recent thing that I was doing is I went to a wedding on Sunday, and it was a costume wedding.
Wow, that's your favorite.
It is my favorite.
What'd you go as?
Well, I went as, I knew that.
You went as lady covered in cat fur.
No, I go to work that way.
Oh.
I go to costume things as in actual costumes. I knew that. They said it's cosplay, and that usually centers around like science fiction.
Cosplay.
Costume play.
Is that what that means?
That's what that means.
I thought that was a porn thing.
Oh, no.
I never knew. COS.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it on porn sites.
Oh.
I had no idea what it was.
Well, I bet that there's like a subgenre where they would like to dress up in costumes and then do
I
the
nasty. I had no. I figured it had something to do with human juice. I just kind of assumed that it was.
Human juice.
I just kind of assumed it was pleasure juice. I had no idea, but now what you say makes perfect sense.
Yeah, costume play.
Oh. Oh, why is that on porn sites? I don't want to be a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger for this.
Now, Mr. Helix and I had gotten married on Halloween, and we had a costume wedding. So it was turned about as fair play. We didn't have these. We weren't friends with these particular people back then, or they definitely would have been, you know, some of the highlights of our wedding,
That's
too.
That's nice that you're still making new friends.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, you know.
The wife does.
Yeah.
The kid, well, she's young. She has to make all friends.
Yeah, she better.
But me, it's like, really not making new friends now.
I have to read what's in the chat.
You don't have to.
No, Tom said that I went as the shrub in front of Steve Winwood's house. You are really close, Tom, in a scary, scary way.
Well, she did go as a bush, Tom. But
I kind of did. I went as Poison Ivy.
From Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got the red hair. Okay.
Right,
I can
right.
see that. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Sexy costume.
Right. I mean, I didn't go as sexy as some of the girls that I saw online while I was researching what they looked
you
like.
You went as Frumpy Poison
I
Ivy.
Frumpy Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy, bad 30 years, bad road later.
Poison Ivy, after she's given up making things a mess in Gotham, is just now sitting at home with donuts and cats.
She's just being a mess.
Poison Ivy, if she was trying to commit crimes online only.
Yeah, but now I'm just reduced to cybercrime. Yeah, no visuals.
Poison Ivy, who has let herself go.
Yes,
I like
yes.
that.
Yeah,
I
Poison
like that.
Ivy after about 30 years of bad road.
I'll tell you what, this Poison Ivy, a little overgrown. Somebody should trim this bitch.
You're saying somebody's got to trim my bush.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so Tom really came close. Sort of like a shrub in front of Steve Winwood's house. Actually, a lot like a shrub in the back of my house, but...
Okay.
Yeah, no, so, I was wearing my Poison Ivy costume.
Now, did Mr. Helix have a costume to match you?
We didn't match.
Oh.
He actually recycled his Frankenstein costume from our Halloween wedding. Which was perfectly
well,
okay.
Well, he's smart because most of us.
Yes.
And it shows how Mr. Helix has kept himself in shape. I can speak for myself. I have the tuxedo
yes.
for my wedding. I'm not even trying to put that on.
Now, Mr. Helix has probably varied about 5 pounds his entire life. It's
good for
unbelievable.
Good for Mr. Helix.
Yeah.
He came out as an old man.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And he's maintained.
Yeah. Benjamin Button. But the other thing is that it was really cool. The bride and groom, they dressed in Star Trek uniforms.
Okay.
Which I liked. And the officiant was one of
the... Are they going to live long and prosper? Huddle a huddle a hoop?
Yes, they are.
Ugh.
it's their bag, you know.
Is he going to say, I'm giving it all I got, Captain? The wedding night.
Well, you know what? The wedding night has come and gone, and I haven't gotten an official report.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure he did.
Report? So...
She goes, I don't think I can hold her. Oh, hacky Star Trek things. God, if I'd known this was coming, I would have gotten Star Trek sound bites.
Yeah,
they
planned it for Ponfar.
Who?
Ponfar. Oh, you see, you're not enough of a nerd. Any of you guys in the chat know what
Sorry.
I'm talking about, Ponfar?
Sorry.
It is the season in which Vulcans become violently horny. And they really,
violently
really
horny?
Have to mate.
Violently horny?
Yes. Vulcans are very stable and very...
they use their intelligence.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They're not emotional.
They're not emotional. Well, they get really emotional because they have to mate.
How long does the season last?
What is it, like every 7 years or something? I'm not really up to date on my pond farm.
What are they, like locusts?
Kinda. But, you know, they... Well,
can you just imagine? You don't know. You happen to land on the planet they're from where are they, from Vulcan?
Yeah.
Where they live. And, you know, you don't know. And, wow, it's lush. It's beautiful. But there's this white gooey substance on everything, and you just don't know what the hell's going on.
what kind of sap are these trees leaking?
Is this marshmallow fluff? Much saltier than fluff.
What is that? That special sea salt marshmallow flush I've been hear- fluff I've been hearing about?
You just come out and you just like, everybody's like, oh, a bunch of Vulcans are humping your leg.
No, that was the after party.
I you know, I've never saw that episode of Star Trek.
Oh, okay. You have to go to YouTube and look up Pon Farr.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so now we drive up and we're parking the car and we're just like, okay, you know, because you're wearing costumes. Where am I going to put the keys? Where are we going to put this? You know, and so we're futzing in the car for a couple seconds.
You mean Frankenstein didn't have enough pockets?
No, he didn't have any pockets. You grossed out Tom with the Vulcan jizz.
Thank you. I'll take that as a victory.
Yes.
He has heard a lot of terrible things on this show. He's contributed many a terrible thing
many
on this show.
Many a terrible thing.
So for Vulcan jizz to be the line.
You know what? Even though he's in terrible pain,
I'll
take it.
I'll say this. Trucker Tom would have handled Vulcan jizz. Formerly Trucker Tom, a little squeamish.
Absolutely true.
Because Trucker Tom saw many terrible things, I'm sure, at pilot gas stations.
Oh, I'm sure the road stops all over the nation. He saw terrible things.
But now that his area of travel is greatly reduced, he's becoming soft.
You think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is. Go on.
Poor Tom. So we're sitting in the car and we're futzing, and then we're seeing, like, oh, a couple came down the road. Gee, they're not dressed up. And then two older ladies come down the road. They're obviously going to their house. They're not dressed up
either. Maybe they're going as Golden Girls.
I see one lady in a funny Klingon t-shirt. Okay, there's something, but I don't see any costumes, and I'm starting to sweat. I'm like, tell me that this has changed, and we're going to be the only idiots in there. Thank goodness. I look over at the house while Mr. Hillux is still futzing, and I see a purple My Little Pony come out the front door. Saved!
Now, is anybody trying to hump the pony? Because people find the ponies very sexy.
Or
are they bronies? The guys that like are attracted to My Little Ponies?
I don't know.
I think they're bronies.
Bronies. I know of bronies that like My Little Pony.
And there's plushies that like to get in those costumes and hump.
And hump, yes. Yeah. And furries.
Plushies and furries are the same?
I don't know what the distinction is exactly.
You have to turn them upside down to find out. You lift them up. You rub their belly, and then they're peaceful once you rub their belly.
Wait. Isn't there a special little zipper compartment?
There is, and then it pops out. You go, oh!
Oh, that's the noise compartment. Oh, you're making noises while I'm digging around in there, so that must be it.
Sure, that's it. It's a colloquia that they have dolphins?
Oh, yeah. What is that called?
I think a colloquia. I don't know. I should stop talking out of my ass. I should talk about things I know, like Vulcan jizz.
Or at least crouch down so that talking out of your ass, everybody can hear it. Mm. Yeah.
Call
okay.
Back. Thanks.
Yeah. Went a long way for that.
Sure you did. So, all right. So there are people in costumes.
I was very happy to see My Little Pony. And
we all are.
Yes. And her boyfriend was dressed up in something. I'm not sure what that was, but it was something like anime-ish. So at least it was...
What did it have, like really big eyes?
No, he was wearing a hoodie that was a purple.
Oh, he went
green.
As Trayvon.
What is that?
Trayvon Martin.
Ah, no.
He had the hoodie on, eating some Skittles, couple bullet holes.
They were Skittles at the Brian Grill.
Sure, it's Trayvon.
No. It was...
I had a joke like that in my act for a while.
I know.
You said it like it was terrible.
It was terrible.
Well, don't worry. I've replaced that. I don't have that. But I have a lot of Josh Duggar's material. I actually wrote.
You would have to.
What?
You would have to. That's so
Most
horrifying.
Comics wouldn't. But she goes, you would have
You would have to.
Yes.
Yeah, because it. You know, once I found out he was a kid toucher, all the gloves are off.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. All right, so he's dressed as something.
Yeah, it's like purple and green, and it looks vaguely dinosaurish, but
maybe
cute.
He was Barney.
No, it was like lavender and light green.
Maybe it was Barney made in Korea.
Yeah, maybe it was like...
It's knockoff Barney.
Anime cutesy Barney. I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
It's like Hello Kitty's version of Barney.
People like are turned on by anime.
I know. Some of it is sexy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really...
Yeah,
it's a cartoon.
I know, but sometimes it's like the only one that I saw years and years ago, my friend turned this on and then left the room because she didn't want to embarrass me by sitting there going, ha ha, you like it, ha ha. And I'm like, thank you, because that would be, it was the only animated porn ever I'd ever seen. But it was this, like this squid sort of thing. With
oh yeah, they
tentacles.
Always have like these tentacles. And they penetrate
and
the woman.
And they're going all over the place.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
was like, ooh.
Me, hey. Me and Joe saw that. We were working down in Alabama. And the owner of the club put it on his wall.
No.
He had like a wall-sized screen.
Oh, God.
We were watching this for like an hour and a half waiting to get paid.
Suction cups everywhere.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I could sort of see the appeal. I wasn't going to go home and like jill off to it. But I mean, I could sort of see, okay.
Well, why? You can have, there's people that will do those things.
I know. It's like, I prefer penis in those places, but... If
but you'll take a tentacle if you must.
Ah, you know.
You're a team player.
Yeah, let me have the whole plate of
so when you go to a
calamari.
Detroit Red Wings when you go to a Detroit Red Wings game and they throw the octopus on the ice, you're a little turned on.
I'm jumping on top of
you're
it.
Like, that's a waste of octopus. We could be using that here.
Come here, bring me those suction cups, big boy.
If you're going to take it off the ice, I'm going to be needing this in between the second and third periods.
Come on, ink all over my tits.
Wow. Wow. I, no pun intended, did not see that coming. Wow.
I didn't realize I was going to be talking about octopus porn this evening either. But
that wasn't in show prep.
Oh, it most certainly was in the small print.
Oh, I didn't see that. I yeah. should pay attention.
You should.
My bad.
So that that was the only, oh, like...
Wait, Tom... Vulcan
Tom says isolate that.
What?
the coming, you know, ink all over my tent.
All right, I mean, but see that he's fine with because he's a Red Wings fan, and that's kind of erotic to him. Me saying Vulcan jizz, ew, I'm a little squeamish. Really?
Yeah, but you know what? You're talking about jizz in your man voice, and I said ink
oh,
all over
okay,
my tent.
Okay, talk
tits.
About it like this.
Yeah, maybe that. Well, no, that's a little frightening. Unless you're
Get your ink all in me. A little better.
Pour your ink all
now I'm thinking
me.
Of a conversation I need to have with a scammer.
I bet. Okay.
Penetrating her with tentacles and ink.
Oh, you know what? I bet that if you got a Japanese scammer, they would know what you were talking
they
about.
They don't do that. Sorry, no, all right, go on. I'm taking you off track.
Sorry, no, I think I completely derailed you with that visual.
Yeah, that was a lot. I'm going to drink my Diet Mountain Dew and get past it.
Well, you know, that was the only one that I saw of, like, anime that... not bordered on porn. It was definitely porny, but I don't understand how other anime, because they're not real people and they look like cartoons, so it doesn't look like all juicy and exciting to me.
I don't understand any of it.
No.
But people get
really
turned on.
I really don't get the furry thing. Did I tell you about the first time? I don't know. Tell me if I told or already told you the first time that I learned about furries. Do you remember me telling you about that?
Joe is heading home.
Oh, he's not feeling good.
No.
Oh.
He spent 20 minutes puking.
All the bodily fluids have been covered.
I don't mean to derail you, but here's Joe's logic.
Okay.
Joe spent the better part of the weekend drinking his face off and staying up late at the compound.
Yeah.
And it's a mystery why his tum-tum's not right. You're over 50, stupid. It's not really a mystery. You can't do that anymore.
No.
You're not a frat. He's drinking Bacardi Limon.
Yeah.
And Coronas.
Oh, I saw that picture.
First of all, it's Mexican. It's going to mess with your tum-tum.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't be... you're not a young man anymore.
No.
You can't be up all night, back-to-back nights, no less, drinking and eating like an animal. It's going to catch up to you.
It's just it's not really going to... Joe's girl says, poor Joe. I know. It's like, he's just... got to remember that if you're going to party like that, you're really not going to bounce back as well as we did when we were young.
What's the over-under on when Joe's girl bails on this show? We got a new game.
We're timing. We're timing you, girl.
I say 10 minutes, she bounces.
She's like, I don't want to listen to this bullshit while they're talking about my man. He's not there.
Where's the star?
Yeah. Where's the good comedy?
Where's the guy who holds it together? Yeah. He's in the bathroom right now, dear.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes, he's not holding anything together.
Well, I'm glad he's going home and he's not doing that in his car. Or was he?
No, he stopped at a bathroom. So, Joe, feel better.
She says, LOL, now.
She's out?
No, not yet, but I guess she's bailing.
That's pretty pathetic right there. That sucks.
Yeah, Tom says, I was going to say, sole survivor of the Compound Sunrise Club isn't feeling well. Could it be the booze, stupid?
It's just ridiculous.
I know. Well, you can't just... I know, Joe's girl. You're kidding.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm still timing you, girl.
You can't leave, girl, because if you do, now we know what
you're... Now we know.
Now, you can't... You just as you get older, you can't recover like that. You can't punish your body like that.
No, and you know, I realized I had to go away for a work conference, and I knew that I had obligations that I, besides going to the seminars and things, I had obligations that I had to fulfill for the association that I was there with, and so
vagueness.
Yeah, vagueness my top priority right now.
Sure,
but nobody wants to hear about my work.
No,
blah blah blah. But
that's a noise nobody wants to hear, Joe. If you're listening.
No, but usually...
Joe, if you're listening, greasy pork chops and bacon fat.
Don't you dare.
I'm not here. I'm saying if he's... That's delicious for a Gentile. Mmm, yum.
You're very naughty.
He's
very naughty. He's like... Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Knowing Joe, he'll get a ticket for swerving before he pukes.
I'm telling you.
Uh-oh, this is going to be a rough night for me. Slop towel.
Slop, and Slop towel's new buddy, Slop pal.
Oh, I feel dirty. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be getting any either.
No, I don't think so. There's no use for you tonight. Only if you're on the planet Vulcan.
Oh, poor Joe. So anyway, go on.
So I was just saying that... Once upon a time, I was watching HBO, and they had a special about furries. And
That was on, like, Real Sex or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And I had never seen anything like that before. I didn't know about it then. It was, God, it was quite a long time ago.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
from the 90s. They don't make those anymore.
No.
The early 2000s.
I think it was the early 2000s.
Back when you had cable.
Yes. And I'm back when I had HBO, anyway. And I was talking with Mr. Helix about this thing I had seen on TV, and I was like, do you believe these people? They get dressed up in these costumes and they find that sexy, and you know, they have sex in, like, you know, bunny and fox costumes
and Mr.
stuff?
Helix said, go on.
No, that's not where it went. I was in my bedroom at home, and I was talking to him, and he was in his own place. Pardon me, allergies. And I looked over, and hanging up on my closet door is a giant chicken costume from the previous Halloween. And it's been hanging there, like, covered in feathers, because I had made this costume the last year and then didn't know what to do with it. So I just hung it on my closet.
Cats are staring at it.
They're like, wanted to get it so bad.
When's
kill,
it gonna die?
Kill.
That could fill us for a week. Eat the costume.
That's a big bird.
All of a sudden, the cats are giving you love while you're wearing the costume. Following you all over the house, licking their stupid lips.
Crying.
Yeah.
Crying. Taking headers at me from the couches. No, I looked over at it, and I realized that this whole conversation I'm having with him on the phone, and he's been over here and seen my chicken costume hanging off the closet
door.
So
he thinks that you're trying to see if he's into this. This is her... By the way, I happen to catch... Can you believe these crazy people? Wink, wink.
Does that sound at all sexy to you?
Does that turn you on, or is that gross? That's gross. Yeah, I was just going to say that's gross. Yeah, it's really gross.
Yeah, I was total agreement with whatever you said.
So glad you said that.
I realized... Oh, my God. He thinks I'm sounding him out to see if I want to be a furry with him.
Again, it just does not seem appealing.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, because basically what you're doing is dry humping in a costume. Is that how it works?
I'm not sure if it's like if they have little special zipper compartments so that they can let the fun out. Or end.
Depending. No, I think these are regular costumes. I don't think these are specially made.
No, some of them specially made costumes.
Okay.
They get, like, according to the show, they get, like, you know, their own special made costumes. Or they make them themselves.
You
got to
get that Scotch guarded.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, that is going to be a randy costume after a couple of parties.
Your dry cleaning bill is going to be really up there.
I mean, God, you know, you just like a purple dinosaur with matted fur.
Like a homeless Barney.
Just staring at people while they eat.
Absolutely.
That sounds nasty.
It does. But I really did.
Maybe I'm a prude. I don't get turned on by cartoons or costumes.
No, I just think that that's the where your level of kink drops off.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
I am punching out on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, it's like there are some guys that are like not interested in lingerie, and other guys that are like, oh, I bought you another teddy, or
you
whatever.
You know, again, lingerie, waste of time.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but really, if we're enjoying it, we're not going to enjoy it very long.
Right. But you know what? You get to reuse that.
That being said, it is sexier than coming to bed with sweatpants and a stained sweatshirt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, or a chicken costume is the...
But it's got to be good because it sends a signal like, hey there.
It sends a signal. So yeah. It gets the, like Pavlov, you know, we start drooling.
It's like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, something good's going to happen.
Right,
so
right.
It does send a signal. Yeah, right. You know, it's good. You know, it's just frustrating if you have lingerie and you want to try to get them out of it and you don't know.
Yeah, and you can't rip it because no, that cost me a million.
Billion.
It cost me a million.
How was I supposed to know there were snaps in the crotch?
Yeah,
what are you, a preemie?
No, pull, not teeth. What's the matter with you? What are you, a preemie?
It's a lot of work.
Well, normal bras flummox some men.
Flummox me.
Yeah.
Well, in my younger days, there were many a time where you give up on the bra, you push up.
Yeah.
The bra is pushed. Enough of this horse shit. I'm giving you my best discreet move, and now we all know I'm going for your boobs.
Yeah, so you know what? I'm just pushing up the bra and, like, diving in.
Yes! Yes! It took me an hour to get the courage to massage and kiss you. I've had enough of this crap. Enough of the scoop. I can't with you. Just help me.
Yeah, well, you know what? There is a subtle line between maybe he'll get it, maybe he'll get it. Should I wait? He's not really paying attention how he's kissing me now because he's so involved in I gotta get that thing unhooked. I'd rather just do it for him, but is that emasculating? So now neither of you are thinking about the kissing. You're all thinking about the bra strap.
You know what? If you can't get that off within 20 to 30 seconds,
she's got to do it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you spend way too much time. It's already emasculating that you can't do this.
It shouldn't be.
It should. Well, I know we don't wear them, but unless you're like, hey, we're both virgins.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like to, hey, I've done this before.
Yeah, but they're all different, and they're all made to keep those puppies in, so they're not made to be easy.
You would think, but a Velcro would be fine for this. No. The bra needs Velcro technology.
No. It that's
you're
not
like,
a,
no, no.
No, that's not enough hold.
But can you imagine how hard we would get? Just by hearing the rip of Velcro.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh.
Also, you walk by a playground and all like the six-year-olds are putting on their sneakers. You got a big stiffy.
Yeah, that's the Duger bra.
the Duger bra.
No. Well, I understand that any of those other, you're alluring those other senses. Because, like, you walk home and there's candles lit. You know you're getting some.
Or somebody farted.
There's that. There's that.
She took a massive dump and is trying to cover it with potpourri.
It's like, oh, my tum-tum. Yeah, I'm not getting
it. You walk into the Curry household, there'll be lots of candles lit tonight. Yeah. I don't think he's trying to create a mood.
Yeah, they're not the sexy tub candles. They're Glade.
Glade.
But, if you know, there are all those things like candles lit or... I remember, and this made a lot of sense to me, that there were certain scents that were more evocative of, you know, not necessarily sex, but were more warming and more attractive scents to men than others. And also, and I admit,
you know what smell I like?
What?
Desperation. Nothing gets me hotter
than desperation. Well, then I was already starting on the right foot because I already had lots of that.
Oh, and that pheromone is pumping out of your glands. Ooh, that is good.
Please let him like me enough to do me.
I smell the standards dropping. I am in. Oh. Sweat and just enough booze so you don't remember what the hell happened. Oh, nothing is better than that.
Oh, good.
Desperation. Ask for it by name.
That, you know, that is probably one of those perfume names that nobody has actually, like, gotten their trademark on yet.
Oh, I'm working on it. I'm working on this.
That's the Devonstead fragrance.
Desperation. For men and women.
Yes. Oh, you know what? And it would smell exactly the same.
Yeah.
Flop sweat.
Flop sweat. All right. That works. Mm. Have you been working out? No. It's desperation.
Oh, by Rosen.
Rosenblatt ruins it. Rosenblatt ruins the mood that desperation creates.
It's like,
By Rosenblatt.
Oh, by Rosenblatt.
I guess I can put it on during Passover, but whatever.
But you know, the candles, the aforementioned negligee, because
negligee. All right, Nana, as Joe would say, negligee is no longer a hot word.
Lingerie.
Lingerie is a hot word. There's a comic I know. I don't remember who. I think it's Kevin Israel, who friend of the show. Love Kevin. I think he has a joke where he says negligee. And he's like my age. I'm like, what are you, 90? Negligee?
You don't say that anymore?
No, you don't say negligee. Unless you're dating a golden girl. Unless you're about to bang Rue McClanahan or Betty White. You're
hot.
Yeah, you're not saying negligee.
I'm old enough to be a Nana, so you're real, technically. So really,
yeah, and
if you say
negligee, it's all shriveled up.
Is that what the problem is?
That's what the problem is. Put on some more desperation. We'll be good to go.
See, on the days I say that,
negligee, yeah. Negligee is a dated word, in my opinion.
All of a sudden, it's time to get busy with taking out the trash and doing the cat boxes. Okay, no more negligee talk.
Yeah, I don't like that word.
Lisa says sleep shirt. Sleep shirt's good with no panties. Yeah.
Really? Lisa's like, listen, we might do it, but first, I'm going to eat in bed.
Pass me those Oreos, damn
no,
it.
No, I got a sleeve. I don't need a napkin. I'm good. Yeah, we could use tomato sauce as lubricant. I'm eating SpaghettiOs in bed.
Ooh, ow. Oh. I
too much garlic and oregano in this sauce?
No, I just got to chill thinking about, like, ooh, not tomato sauce, no.
You know what? It's got to be a hot sleep shirt.
Yeah.
And you can't be underwear involved. You can't have underwear involved.
No, just the sleep shirt, like, short.
You're the man's sleep shirt. The man's shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Or even a jersey. For some reason, a jersey is kind of...
Like a sports jersey kind of thing?
No, I meant, like, the state. Yes, a sports jersey. Yeah. Who's this?
I don't know.
Who's calling our show?
I hope it's not our serious caller.
Hello, welcome to Davin's Den.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's me.
Hey!
It's non-puking curry.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I ate yesterday, but it's ravished my system.
Well, knowing you, it was probably everything.
It could have been. I mean, I drank. It was like when a circus bear gets loose in a pantry. Everything and anything.
Circus bear gets loose in a pantry.
I've seen you in that mode. It's not pretty.
No.
Yeah. Oh, God. I feel bad.
Oh, poor Joe.
Joe's tum-tum's not right. Oh, and yeah. Why don't you call and cough, stupid?
I don't know. It's, you know why? Because it's even dangerous doing that. Because certain things aren't locked tight as they should be.
Oh my God!
Uh oh! I'm underneath Joe's ass. I'm not pleased.
That wasn't coughing. That was being a daredevil.
Oh my God!
Quick, call Joe's girl. She could tune back in.
Oh, she's long gone. No,
Joe,
kidding.
Quick, text her. The hero has arrived. It's Blue. Oh,
Captain, yeah, right. Captain Pukes-a-lot is here.
Oh, God. Oh, I agree. And I had to go to the day program, and they docked you for yesterday.
Oh. Much,
they docked you? Know?
Yeah, if you take off, like, on Monday, on a holiday, they think you're still continuing festivities, so they'll dock your ass. So you got to go in. I had to do that. At two jobs ago, when I was really sick after a holiday, I had to go in because he would have docked me like the Queen Mary, so I had no choice.
Docking like the Queen Mary.
Much funnier when he's not here.
When he's sick. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when Joe's tummy's doing somersaults, hilarious. Joe, I recommend that you eat more things that disagree with you. Next week, there'll be gefilte fish juice waiting for you.
I thought you say things that disagree with you. There's little Davin snacks. They don't eat me.
That's funny. You have to eat them with your left hand.
Oh,
mayonnaise on me, stupid. It'll taste better.
Mayonnaise? Is that like Vulcan jizz? I don't know if you heard that part. I don't know if you were listening to the show, but it's been quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's been messy.
God.
Not as messy as the bathroom that you left.
No, apparently not.
Oh, my God. Looks like somebody dropped a big rock in a mud puddle.
Oh, God.
Thanks for that image, pal.
Oh, my God. Now, Joe, it couldn't have been anything to do with the amounts of alcohol you had yesterday, could it?
You would think alcohol would have killed whatever I ate, but
no.
Apparently they made friends and teamed up.
They teamed up.
Well, we were talking. You
team bent on the structure of my colon.
You can't treat your body like that anymore.
I understand that. My body has spoken today.
No, no.
it's told him this already.
Your body's going, hey, man, that's enough. That was just for Dennis, for Joe. That's our pal Dennis, who's got tummy issues of his own. So we took over Joe's tummy. Go, hey man, I like to eat like a bear too, but I can't anymore.
My stomach's on an angle.
Yes, it is. Because our pal always tilts his head when he talks. He like kind of takes off his glasses, looks at him, sweats a little bit, rubs his hair through. Goes, hey man, I don't feel so good.
Like the RCA Victrola dog?
Yes, just like that. So, Pip, before I go on to which I want to talk about now that Joe's here, I didn't know Joe was calling in, but Joe could participate in this. Is there anything more to this story, or are we...
Oh, no, I think that we have really done this.
I'll tell you what, Pip, when, you are very good at conversation.
Thanks.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Are you rubbing that in?
No,
I know what he's getting.
I gave her a compliment. That's all I did.
I'm basking in it.
You gave her a compliment, and you gave me a backhanded one.
No, I said you're very funny when you're sick. That's that's a compliment.
And you're very sick when you're funny.
Yes. I gave you both compliments. Don't be jealous. I don't love her more than you. Relax.
You don't love anybody more than anybody.
Yeah, you all suck. But anyway, we move on.
We know that.
All right. So this week, last week was the last David Letterman show. Last late night with David Letterman. Did you anybody watch the last episode?
I watched.
No, I wanted to see it, but I fell asleep.
I watched as much as I could stay up for, but I was sick and I was away at the conference.
All right, I DVR'd it. What did you think about from what you saw, Pip?
You know, as much as I saw, I found myself getting a little like verklempt. I was feeling a little misty.
He didn't even cry.
I know he didn't, but he's not that kind of person, really.
You are, though.
I was thinking, oh, I am going to miss him, old curmudgeon.
So you watched his show?
Yeah, I did.
That last episode might be the most I've ever watched him.
Really?
Yes.
Ever?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Like, I would catch a top 10. I never thought he was... I mean, I'm not going to say he wasn't good at what he does, because I guess he is.
Right.
But the show never was my fancy. Joe, were you a fan?
I was a bigger Leno fan than a Letterman. I mean, I thought Letterman was good, but Leno has been one of my idols even before he got the Tonight Show, so I was a better Leno fan. Letterman was good, but the interesting thing, and it's a kind of sad thing to watch, is that like our generation of talk show hosts, like Letterman and Leno, they're kind of passé now. Compared with Jimmy Fallon and the other shows out there, it's kind
Conan.
Of like their time has come and gone.
I don't think anybody. Wait, hold on. Pip said Conan. I don't think anybody's watching Conan on TBS. I forget he's on.
I do.
Besides you,
I like Conan.
Care less. They seem to be going in a different direction. I mean, the guy that I hate to see say goodbye is Jon Stewart. He's my guy.
Ugh, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm with Jon Stewart. But you see, the thing with Jon Stewart though, he was still hip enough. He was still in the vein of what Fallon's doing, and what Kimmel's doing and stuff like that. So it wasn't like he was past his prime, because he wasn't. He was right in the running with those guys. Matter of fact, he was the template for what those guys are doing now, to tell you the truth.
So you think Letterman and Leno are past their prime?
They were past their prime. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we're both great. I think we're both innovators. We're both is really funny, but they were still in that Carson vein. And you know what? I like Jimmy Fallon, but the new style of talk show, I'm still getting used to it. I'm not going to say it sucks, because it doesn't. A lot of the stuff is brilliant.
The new style is more bits than it is interviewing the people. It's like having them do karaoke and stuff like that.
Right. And some of them, it's geared more to a younger audience, which I don't have a problem with that, man. It is what it is. I'm not going to be the curmudgeon, at least in this case. I remember when comedy used to be this way. Everything has got to evolve. He does a great job, but Leno and Letterman, that style was more my taste. I just have to watch more and get used to it. I'm not going to damn it. It's for what those guys do is brilliant.
I never watched them. I would probably watch Leno a touch more than Letterman. But see, I always find Leno a little pandering.
Yes.
And Letterman was Letterman to me. I mean, I never got into the top 10. I mean, Letterman to me was a little too distant.
Yeah.
I mean, for some reason, I guess Jon Stewart just hit me right.
Yes.
You know, I just like the way he does an interview.
Oh, me too. Me too. I mean, I didn't love David Letterman, but I watched it.
But
I
you would think
better.
He was a god. I mean, people were like, he was a god, you know, that he's signing off now.
I think that he like Joe said, he definitely did have his moment in the pantheon of the big, you know.
He wasn't number one, though. Leno beat him all the time.
No, I know. But that he had a completely different style. And
the thing I'm sorry.
That's okay. Nope.
Go on.
Okay, I think the thing about Leno, you said that Leno was more pandering, and you're correct in that. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, after 11:30 at night, when you're crashing, you're in bed, you're kicking back, you're ready to go to sleep, you kind of want pandering. You don't really want to, you know, think too much on your comedy. You just want to, a quick and easy laugh, something to go to sleep to. It's the truth. So that's why Leno was more geared to the Midwest.
I wasn't even talking about Leno's monologue. I was just talking about the way he interviewed.
Yeah.
I mean, his monologue was fine. It was topical. You know, it was right. Fine. But just the way he interviewed, I didn't get a lot out of his interviews. But he always seemed nicer than Letterman. He may not have been. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was. Leno has got that more endearing attitude. I'll give an example. At the day program, there was the Westbury Music Fair is right down from the day program. And the hotel that those guys stay at is on the block of where my day program is.
Oh, no kidding.
I was kicked myself in the ass because Leno, one of my guys walked in from lunch because I just, guess who I met at Subway. I go, who? Jay Leno. I go, Jay Leno? I go, my God, yeah, he's hanging out there. He's got the show. And he said he couldn't be more nice. He was taking pictures with everybody. Where Letterman was more of a recluse. So basically to that fact, Leno was more personable than Letterman was.
Yeah, I guess, there's something to that. And as a fan, I always hope that if I meet somebody that's famous, that they'll be nice to me. But
wait, I'm not nice to you?
No. Oh. Complete bastard off the air.
Compared to you, I am. Shut up, stupid.
No, but the other thing is
you better shoot higher. When you shoot compared to me.
Listen, I know where I am on the entertainment pantheon. I'm shooting right where I should be shooting.
Okay, So when we play the beef steak, you're the headliner. I'm sorry I didn't realize the chopping order.
Yes,
all of this.
When it comes to contempt on Reddit, you surpass me.
Yeah, I'd say the beef steak in the middle of nowhere, but I'm the headliner. You bring me up. Okay, I got it.
You say it now, but somehow I don't think you do when it counts.
Silly. But, well, now, I mean, as far as, like, Leno being nice to the people and everything, and Letterman not, I kind of don't hold it against...
I didn't say he wasn't nice. It's just how it came off to me. I don't know.
I don't hold it against famous people if... Not that you want them to be like, shut up, go away, but that
Oops.
They're not
Oops.
The most personable after their thing is done, because I don't think the famous people owe it to us to be on all the every moment.
Well, talk about personable, like when you're on the show. And obviously, I've never been on. However, Anthony O&A is, and Ant was actually talking about it last week when he was on Leno. Leno came in, and Leno was talking with those guys for a while. They were chatting about this, that, and the other thing in the green room and stuff like that. When they were on Letterman, they just came out. You know, there was no meeting Letterman and stuff like that. I think he had to go to a preamble with the AD, but that, you know, they didn't meet Letterman. You know, it was out, you did your thing, and, you know, he was gone. So yeah. Letterman was more personable to his guests than Letterman was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen that people have said that when they were on Letterman, during the breaks, he wouldn't talk to them.
But that happens on radio shows, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in studio, sometimes during a radio show, nobody talks to anybody.
Right, because they're just saving it for the show. Like, there's how many times have we showed up to do this show, and I'll say to you, I can't talk to you about that because we're going to talk about it on the show.
And how many times have the audience go, yeah, I wish they would have talked about it in the car.
Many, many times. Yes. By the way, the chat is... also with you guys, like Trucker Tom says, he couldn't care less about Letterman, and Lisa also fell asleep during the last show.
I think basically what you need to know about our show and the people that listen to our show, bunch of narcoleptics. Night, night. It's almost 11. I can't even stay up for the news.
I have sleepies.
I got to go to bed.
Oh, yeah. No,
I just DVR'd it.
Yeah, well, I
was out. I was working. I was on stage at the Broadway Comedy Club when he's.
Oh yeah, that's right.
When he was saying goodbye.
Yeah, I was sick, and I was really efforting to stay awake during it because.
Well, you think that might have taken away from some of the ratings?
Is that a shot, Joe?
Listen to him. He's sick, and he's still can take shots.
My tummy hurts.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he sounds perfectly fine. It sounds like he could have been here.
No, it sounds like his tummy hurting makes him feel emboldened to take good shots at you.
I guess, because he knows I can't shoot him a shut up stupid look.
Trust me, I feel miserable.
Well, I had compassion, now I don't. I don't know if you heard it, but Joe, I want you to envision a nice greasy pork chop and some bacon fat.
That would do it. Oh, how would you like a nice greasy piece of pork?
All right, so we are going to take our first break. When we come back, we are going to talk with Frank Mara, the author from Landfill to Hallowed Ground, the largest crime scene in America. We're going to bid adieu to Mr. Curry. We hope he gets home safely.
Yes.
Joe,
peace out, everyone. I'll talk to you later.
If you want to call back during the scammers, feel free, Joe.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we were talking about the whole thing about the, you know, from Landfill. I thought we were still talking about Joe's tummy.
Oh, there it was. All right. Well, I don't even know what the hell we covered in that first segment.
It's a blur.
It started with your costume, and then it took on so many tangents.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's how we roll in the Shire.
But anyway, you are listening to Davin's Den. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.